promise. If you have your Bible, turn with me over to Matthew chapter number 1. This is that scripture that I told Brother Scott, and as I was saying this morning, I didn't really want to get too much into this one thing because I know he's headed there with the Sunday school lesson today. But next week, or within the next few days anyway, your services. And I wanted to just share with you a few thoughts this evening. Not going to be really, really lengthy. But I want to talk to you about the first Noel. And I'll explain that in just a few minutes. But in the scripture, Matthew chapter number 1, I want us to pick up reading in very familiar scripture that we all know. We've heard it for years. But even though we've heard it for years, I think it's very imperative that we hear it again. How many of you still believe this? You still believe the Christmas story? You still believe about Jesus and Jesus' birth? In verse number 18, we see, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found of child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream." Now that's very important that you see that. "Saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." Now, when you look at the scripture, we read this in verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Several things, again, begin to think about when I begin to think about this grouping of scripture. The first Noel. First of all, when I begin to think about this, I begin to think about the purpose of Jesus' coming. And we all know that. I would say that everybody in this room, probably on a Sunday night in particular, you've been saved and born again and washed in the blood. This is nothing new to you. But yet we understand that the whole purpose of Jesus' coming was not to save people in their sins, that we could continue in our sins, but to save us from our sins, so that we are no longer as we were in our former state. Now, when I began to think about this message and this morning's message, I began to think about, I'm dreaming of a Christmas, and what kind of Christmas would you dream if you were going to dream a Christmas? I don't know. I mean, I've not really put that much thought into what I would dream if I had to, you know, if I was going to dream a Christmas. But could you imagine Joseph? Where the Bible says, and I'll get into a few other things a little bit later on. You go to bed one night, Brother Steve, and God begins to deal with your heart. You're asleep. This is what the Bible said. He was asleep. He was dreaming. God began to speak to him, and he was having this dream. And then when he woke up, he imagined in his own mind, what in the world just happened to me? What was this? Where that he dreamt this dream, and God was speaking to his heart. And then, all of a sudden, Joseph, no doubt in my mind, was really wondering, what am I really supposed to do? Because this girl that married, that I'm espoused to, they could stone her. They could kill her, because if she ends up pregnant, we're not married by the law, she could be killed. And it's really a dilemma to really get into all of this that goes along with this particular lesson. So in this, I believe when we begin to see, and I believe it's in Luke that where the angel of the Lord began to talk to Joseph, and it was Gabriel, that messenger angel, that came down and began to talk to him and say, hey, God's got all this under control. Could you imagine this first Christmas? When you look at the first Noel, how many of you know that little song? We've heard that song a whole lot. And Sherry, a couple weeks ago, whenever we were talking about this, and we was wondering, what in the world does that mean? What does the first Noel mean? What does Noel mean? Now, there's a girl's name that means Noel. So I was just looking through some of this stuff, and we can see that actually the name Noel means born on Christmas. Now, there are those that would say, well, you know, Jesus wasn't born in December. I know that. But we don't know when Jesus was born. Somebody says, well, he's probably born somewhere between March or April, most likely. And the evidence of that is found because there was shepherds in the field abiding over their flocks by night. You nor me are going to camp out in the middle of the wintertime. Hello, somebody. So we're just thinking. But the point of the matter is, it's not so much of when it was. But again, you think about Noel, it talks about, and even in the Latin word, it means to be born. And we look at the meaning of Noel and understanding what we understand, the first Noel or the first Christmas, has been, it's the birthday of the Lord. We've set this time aside as we look at the fact of Jesus' birth. And these that were here that day, we think about how that Joseph no doubt was there. Begin to think about Joseph's Noel. Must have been a lot different than what your or my stump jumper Noel would be about, right? But we think about Joseph, and we look at this in the scripture, we can find out how God had shown him a dream. And this to me is almost, I mean, it's just totally amazing that God spoke to Joseph in a dream and he showed him what was going to take place. As I was reading over this the last few days, it got my attention as well, because That is not the only one that God spoke to in a dream. You say, well, you can't believe every dream. I know there's prophetic dreams, and I know there's jelly bean dreams. You know what I mean? Something you eat. Every dream you have is not of God. But this was a dream that God gave, because we know prophetically and through prophecy that there was going to come. Micah talks about it. I'm not going to turn there to all the scriptures tonight, but Isaiah prophesied about it in Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9. Isaiah said that a virgin was going to bring forth a child, and his name was going to be called what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And all of these things are prophesied about that first Noel. Again, when I think about Joseph, I begin to maybe in some way in my own mind think about how maybe Joseph felt. Let me step over here a minute. I have no idea how Joseph felt. Joseph must have really felt like, you know, very confused about that whole situation. Again, he thought about just putting her away. God has a way. God has a way of speaking to you, and God has a way of speaking to me. God had a way, even in this day, of speaking to his people. When we see this in the word of the Lord, again, you can look at that in verse number 20. And he said, while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying unto him, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. I don't know how many fear nots there is in the Bible. But all the way throughout the scripture, we can read over and over again where it talks about fear not. It was Paul that told young Timothy, you know the story there, how that young Timothy was told, for God had not given you a spirit of fear. But how many of us in my own life, how many of us sometimes go through life And it just seems like that we're so uncertain about so many things in our life. I have to make an announcement tonight. I'm not uncertain. Like I told folks a few weeks ago, I'm not uncertain about who God is. I'm not uncertain in my relationship with God. But there's a lot of things out here in this big old world that we're living in today that makes me feel very uncertain. We just have to have faith and believe God and let faith override so many fears that has a tendency to sneak up on our lives these days. Just have faith in God. Could you imagine Joseph, that first Noel, how that he had to really have a lot of faith in God? You and I today are no different in a lot of ways. I mean, we're not talking about the announcement of Jesus to Mary. We're not talking about that necessarily. But the same kind of faith that Joseph had to have to believe God when God said that she was going to bring forth a son is the same kind of faith that you and I have to have today to believe God for eternal life. We have to still believe God. What about Mary's first Noel? We talked about Joseph's a little bit. What about Mary? Again, you can go throughout a lot of scripture and you can read a lot of scripture and talk about a lot of scripture this time of the year, and we're not lacking for scripture that talks about this thing. But what about Mary? What about how Mary would have felt? I love some of the songs that we have at this time of the year when we talk about Mary and the how that Mary might have felt. When you go back into Luke chapter 1, this is where we pick up where the angel of God appears unto Mary. This is Mary's first Noel. This is where Mary was told of the angel that told Joseph that, of what was going to take place. Then he came and then he visited Mary as well. And he said in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David. God was taking care of this on both ends. To a virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And then when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation should this be. In other words, in my mind, I would be going, what in the world is going on? What in the world just happened? Now, you think about it. You and I looking at this from a very practical point of view of how that angel Gabriel came and told her, "You're going to have a baby." Yeah, and you're silly too. Not me. No way. No way. Impossibility. But then we know the Bible says that is conceived within her is of the Holy Ghost. Now let me take another break right here because this is not in my notes. In our world today, if God can do this with Joseph at this first Noel and Mary at this first Noel, in our world today, it just seems like that, let me just talk the way I understand it. For you and I to put our faith and our trust in something that we cannot see today to the world is really strange. Are you with me? Now think about it in a practical sense. For you and I to put our trust and our confidence in something that you cannot see through the eyes of the world is really strange. And as I said this morning, and I could go into a lot of scripture. I could go into John chapter 1 where the Bible says that there was a great light and the darkness comprehended the light because men love darkness rather than light. But you think about that today. The only thing that sets you and I apart is our faith, but is a personal encounter with God in our heart. And once you have that personal encounter with God in your heart, there's no man, woman, boy, or girl can convince you any other way than that Jesus Christ is truly real and that Jesus is truly who he said he is in the Word of God. It took heaven coming down to earth. It took heaven coming down to earth from Gabriel to announce that to Joseph and for Gabriel to announce that to Mary. And then we take it a little bit further and we can see where that the wise men was there as well. And again, I'm not going to take the time to turn there and read it. But it was where the angel, where the wise men was there as well, and where that they had brought their gifts, the frankincense and the myrrh, and they brought their, Sherry talked about this, the ladies thing, but how they brought this to Jesus, and they broke up the myrrh and all that because it was a prophetic thing about his burial. We know that from the scripture. But the Bible even said that they were warned of a dream not to go back to where Jesus was, and that Herod was going to kill all the young men, kill all the babies. And Jesus, even at that time, was spared because of a dream. And you think, well, why is this so important to us this evening? Because in your mind, you and I, we're very settled on the fact about who Jesus is. But you tell people in the world today who Jesus is, and they look at you like a calf looking at a gate. If you go into John chapter 1, verse number 14, I thought about this scripture as I was looking back over my notes this evening. Because this is what God did. And this is amazing because he says, as you look at this in John 1 and 14, because he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word of God was made flesh. That Jesus was made flesh and he walked with us and he talked with us and he visited with us. For one reason. And I know that I'm talking to the mature, and I know I'm talking to the saved, I know I'm talking to the redeemed. Maybe somebody online needs it tonight. I don't know. All this first Noel happened for a reason. So that you and I would never ever be separated from God again. Now, people that are not saved, that's a whole different story, and I'll maybe mention that a little bit, but I'm talking about you and I. So that you and I could have life, eternal life. Now, this is a little bit about this morning, where I was at this morning with the message. Didn't get finished with it. Jesus came in John 10. You know the scripture as well as I do. We talk about the thief coming forth to steal, to kill, destroy, John 10 and 10. But Jesus said that I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Let me say it like this. We talked about Joseph. We talked about the shepherds. We talked about Mary. We talked about those that was there. Luke chapter 2, I'm not going to turn there, but it talked about that first Noel with the angels, and they made this glorious announcement, one of my favorite scriptures at that Christmas time. Whereas they was there, the shepherds was there, and the whole heavens opened up with an angelic choir, and they began to say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. They made an announcement for you and I, for men to know that they had a Redeemer, that Jesus was going to come. And I wrote down several different scriptures about that as I worked through this. The scripture there again in John 10 and 10, we think about it where Jesus said, that I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. You and I, we think about the scripture, we think about the fact that you and I were dead in our trespasses. We didn't get into all of that this morning in the book of Hebrews chapter number 1. We see that. Yet we think about the fact that through Jesus' resurrection, through his death, his burial, his resurrection, that you and I can be, that we, you and I can have this glorious and this wonderful opportunity called eternal life. I don't know how that speaks to you, and I've said this over and over before. I don't want to be saved so long that I forget what it felt like to be lost. I don't want to feel lost, you know what I mean? I don't want that feeling. But yet, I don't want to ever forget about the simple fact that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for my eternal life. When Lazarus was there in the tomb, and this is a little bit not following the exact line of thought when we get in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke about his birth. But it talks about when Jesus came. When Jesus came, he came to the earth. that first Christmas, Jesus came to the earth dying. You ever thought about that? He came to the earth dying. He came to live among men. The Bible reminds us of that. But yet he came to die. He came to give his life a ransom. He came to give his life a sacrifice. When Mary and Martha was there at the tomb of Jesus, and they had wrung their hands and worried about Lazarus, and Jesus had delayed there as he was on his way to where Mary and Martha was at, and Lazarus was already dead and in the tomb. He was already there for 4 days. But somebody said it was 4 days late, but the song says no, he was just on time. Jesus told him this in John chapter 11 and 25. I love what he says there in the scripture, because it reminds us in the word of Jesus' purpose of coming as a babe in the manger, but yet he was going to die. He looked at this, he says, and Jesus said unto her, talking about Martha right there, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he says in verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he put a question to her for her confession. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. He came to town as a friend. He came to town and they did not have the full revelation of Jesus at this time until Lazarus came forth out of that grave, and Jesus told him to come forth, and he came forth out of the grave clothes. You know the story. And then at that time, they begin to see him as Emmanuel. It takes that personal relationship with Jesus Christ to see him as Emmanuel. Lord, let us see your glory again. Let us see you more than just a wee little babe in the manger. Let us see you as God's divine Son that came and died and gave his life a ransom. Why? So that you and I could live and never have to die. Again, when we think about this, we think about how that you and I have eternal life this Christmas. You know, I know a man and knew him years and years and years and years and years ago. Makes me sound old, don't it? His testimony was that he got saved on Easter Sunday morning. I'm not going to call his name. Sherry knows from years ago. Easter Sunday morning. He got saved on Easter Sunday morning. It was always his testimony of how that on that Easter Sunday morning that Jesus gave him new life. Well, I couldn't help but to think about that in comparison to thinking about this Christmas season. As much as Jesus was born in a manger and Jesus talked to Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. You've got to have new life. I began to think about how that maybe this is somebody's first Noel. And by that I mean this is your first real Christmas. They've been a whole lot of December 25ths on the calendar, but this can be your first real Christmas because of the simple fact that you know who Jesus is now in your heart. It makes a difference when you know Jesus. It makes a lot of difference. And you know, I'm going to meddle here for a minute. Sometimes it's hard for the preacher to know what to preach. It's not that we don't have 66 books and a whole lot up here to preach. The challenge sometimes to me is knowing what to preach. I don't know if Brother Steve ever went through that or not. This Brother Steve right here. I don't know if he ever went through that or not. I do that all the time. But I've really been thinking about something lately. Is it okay if I just meddle for a minute? I just simply want to tell people in today's society, I'm sorry. I just simply want to preach about Jesus, Brother West. I mean, is that not what we're supposed to do? I mean, we can preach about a whole lot of stuff. And I like preaching about a whole lot of stuff. But I've even been thinking, as I was thinking today, just go tell them about Jesus. Just go tell the story of Jesus. Just go tell somebody that they don't have to live the way they're living. That there's life beyond where they're at right now, and that they can have life and life more abundantly. That if they'll just turn their heart over, and the worst mistake that I can make and a preacher can make is assuming that everybody in the congregation is saved as saved can be, because that's not always the case. I use the term sometimes in my comical way of delivery. Maybe somebody slipped in under the radar. Maybe you got in here tonight and maybe you're not saved and maybe you're not really where you need to be with God. Well, this is your opportunity. And you can turn your life around by simply trusting and giving your life to Christ. Eternal life. That's what Christmas is all about. When you look at Gabriel delivering the message to Joseph, and you look at what the angel told, he shall save his people from their sins. You look at what the angel told Mary, his name should be called Emmanuel, God with us. And the Word was made flesh. While we live right now, tonight, we've got the greatest opportunity to turn our life around right now. Than any other time in your life. Why? Because you're hearing the gospel message and the opportunity to be saved. When we think about this, every sinner, everywhere, is invited to know Christ and receive eternal life. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look around. Look straight ahead. Try to do deer in headlights look. How many of you know you're saved tonight? You don't have to respond to me. But how many of you know that? There's no doubt in your mind. You can take me back to the place. You don't have to take me, but you can go back to the place and you can point back to the place that you know where your life was turned around. You know where your life was changed. You know where you were given eternal life. See, eternity is not constrained. I'm looking at two clocks right now. In eternity, you're not constrained by time. I thought when I was in my comical way of thinking, when I do my thinking before messages and stuff, there ain't going to be no Timex company or Seiko watches over in glory, are they? Going to be out of business. And here's one of the things that I was reading about is really when you become a Christian, and really in all reality, but as much as we live by the constraint of time and everything, that eternity is forever. You're not going to be constrained by time. Now think about this. For the Christian who's born again, for a Christian who's given their life to God, now think about it. You say, no, it's hell on earth right now, preacher. No, but you think about this. You're living in eternity right now. Because you've already given your heart to Jesus. You're living in this flesh. I understand you're living in the flesh. You're living in the body. But you're living where there's really no time restraint. Because when you think about it in 1 Corinthians 15, when we shut our eyes on this side, we open our eyes up in glory. Hey, Rob, it'll be eternity. Forever. Forever. And ever and ever and ever. When we read the book of Revelation, of course, the revelation of Jesus Christ. But the revelation of Jesus Christ, when you get into the book of Revelation, and there's a lot in the book of Revelation. I understand that. There's a lot of meat in there, and there's a lot of stuff that I don't even understand everything about horns and eyeballs and all that. I don't understand everything about that. I'd be a fool to stand up here and tell you that I do understand all of it. If you've got to figure it out, God bless you. I still don't know what it all means. We get a glimpse of it all, and I'm not here to talk about all that. But the whole element of the book of Revelation was to simply tell humanity, you don't have to go to hell. That, to me, is the greatest Christmas story that could ever be told. You don't have to go to hell. You say, well, again, you're preaching to the mature saints, and everybody in here is going to heaven, and you don't even need to be preaching like that, preacher. Well, just by chance, accidentally, somebody hears me somewhere and they're headed in that direction. And they hear me say, you can turn your life around. God don't want you to go to hell. It is God's desire for you to live with Him in all eternity. Well, let's look at the scripture. There's a couple of scriptures I wanted to read. in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 21, there's two verses there that I want to read, looking in verses 6 and 7. And this is what the Word of God says. He says there in the Word, and he said unto me, it is done, I am the Alpha, the Omega. And he said, the beginning and the end, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now again, when you think about the next verse, I really didn't know if I was going to read it, but I'll go ahead and read it since I'm there. And it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving, and it talks about the abominable there, and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I'm not here to talk about that, but I'm here to simply say that whosoever drinketh of the water of life freely, that we shall be called God's children, God's son. Again, this whole thing was God once again reaching out to lost humanity to let humanity know that they can come to him. Look in the book of Revelation, just over the page, chapter number 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. Don't you like that part? That whosoever will, let him take this water of life freely. The debt's been paid. The debt has been paid. Salvation, again, will lead us in this wonderful, wonderful, what we know as a perpetual life, which means that eternity, which means that it goes on and on and on forever with no end. Now, I don't know how long it's been since you thought about that, but there's no end to eternity. And some of you have never heard me say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. When I was just, before we were ever married, I mean, it was before we were ever married. Somebody said, well, how long is eternity? Look at your neighbor and say, it's a long time. It is a long time. It is forever. You've heard me say this many, many times over. I heard it and it changed my life. It was so profound and it's so simple. But it changed my life to make me remember it 35 years later. Somebody said, well, how long is eternity? Preacher said this in the pulpit one morning, and I've always remembered it. How long is eternity? And he said, let's look at it like this. He said, if a bird was on the east coast of America, United States of America, and he flew all the way across America and got a single grain of sand off the west coast, and he brought that single grain of sand all the way back to the east coast, when that bird moved all the sand from the west coast to the east coast, then eternity would have just begun. I thought, eternity is a long time. Eternal life. This whole first Noel, this whole first Christmas was so that you and I and whoever may be listening to me could have eternal life. Eternal life can be thought of as something that we not only look forward to in the future, but you and I as Christians, we can experience now. Eternal life can function outside and beyond the realm of time, as I was saying. Within time, yet without time. Because we got clocks all around us. I work to a clock all the time. You do too. We're always telling us where to go and what to do. But in eternity, it'll be forever. I don't know everything. I mean, I read what the Bible talks about heaven, and I could go back here and tell you a few things the Bible says where that God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no pain, there'll be none of these things that we experience right now. The Bible says no sorrow nor crying and be no more pain. And boy, that would be good for Christmas, wouldn't it? Just to be in no more pain, as much pain as there is in our world today. The thought when I wrote my notes about that and I thought, you know, Jesus can take our pain away. There's things and Some of you I talk to and some of you don't about certain things. But there's not a person in this room, I don't care how pretty you are, that's not experiencing something. And I'm thinking, people put this masquerade on. They put we all do it. We don't want to expose ourselves. We don't want people to know really how much pain or what we're going through. I do it. But I'm glad He's the pain taker. I'm glad that he can take it. I'm glad we can take that burden to the Lord and leave it there. Hello? The Bible says there in this Revelation scripture of what heaven's going to be, there's not going to be any sorrow. Wouldn't it be wonderful this first Noel if there's no sorrow? Raymond Ison's listening to me right now online. I know he is. Raymond's son, Michael, died on Christmas Day. He told me this morning it was 10 years ago. I couldn't believe it because I was there right the day before that took place. And we all carry these things. And Raymond said, I'm just ready to go. I'm just ready to go to heaven. And I thought, the pain that people carry and the things that people carry. I've read this just the last few days and different people saying different things. Even Paula Hill. I don't know if you read her post about remembering family and remembering Christmas and remembering things and just ready to go home. She put it on Facebook. It ain't no big deal. It's on Facebook. That's our general overseer's wife. Just ready to go home. And I thought about everything that everybody's going through today. And the only thing I can, Brother Steve, feel in my spirit is don't grow weary, Christian soldier. Keep your battle garb on. It's too late in the game. Let me buzz here real fast and get done with this. Several scriptures that come to my mind about eternal life, because eternal life, when we think about eternal life, really begins when a person puts their trust in Jesus. When a person really puts their faith in God. In the book of John, chapter number 3 and 36, we read these scriptures there, and there's a lot of other scriptures that we could read along with this, but in John 3 and 36, this is what it says. It says here in the Word, it says, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. He that hath the Son have everlasting life. That's good scripture right there. But the sad news is for those that don't know Him. For those that don't know Him, the Bible said that the wrath of God abides on them. So it's our choice this Christmas. God's done His part. Another scripture here or two, and again, I'm cutting it a little bit short, but it says here again, I choose life. What will you choose? I choose life this Christmas. What will you choose? Again, in John 10, again, we look at this in verse 28, a very familiar scripture again, and it says here in the Word of the Lord, it says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You cannot do one thing about my salvation. You can't make me backslide. You can't make me turn back. You have no control over my eternal destiny. Somebody believes in unconditional eternal security or eternal security. I believe in unconditional eternal security as long as you stay within God's Word. But I believe if you get outside of that, you better do a checkup from the neck up. Hello, somebody. I believe that you can backslide. I believe that you, just like the prodigal son, can walk right away from the Father's care. There's a lot of discussions about that. There's a lot of conversations about that. But he said in this scripture that, and I give unto them eternal life. Jesus came at Christmas to give you and me eternal life. One more little section of scripture. Again, it says all this is in John. We see in John chapter number 6. I always remember where this scripture's at because it happens to be John 6:66. Sort of an odd thing for this particular scripture to be right there, because he says there, and he says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You can walk away from Christ. It's a dangerous thing to walk away from Christ. Again, that's a conversation that could get lengthy, and I'm not going to take the time to get into all of that right now. I don't want to walk outside of his will. But when you read these scriptures, it said many of them begin to walk away. And Simon Peter answered, and here in verse number 67, again, where Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? It's like Peter again, Simon in verse 68 said, well, Lord, where are we going to go? To whom? Who are we going to turn to? Well, we have nowhere to go. And then he said here, he says, but Lord, you have the words of eternal life. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. He bled, he died, he lived a sinless, spotless life for you and I this Christmas, this first Noel, to be able to say this is the most glorious Christmas of my year, or the most glorious time of the year, is because I can live forever and forever and forever, and I will never face the pains of hell. That's awesome to me. And he said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Now, if I was going to preach another hour, I would say, well, whose words are you trusting in? Where are you staking your claim? What are you putting your confidence in? Who are you trusting? What are you trusting? God says, trust him. Proverbs 3, with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He'll show you which way to go. Verse 69, and he says here in the Word, he said, and we believe and are sure. I like that word. I got that underlined in my Bible. And we are sure. Are you sure this evening? We are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he says in 70, Jesus answered them, and having not I chosen you 12, and of course one of them is the devil, talking about Judas Iscariot. I don't want to be that one that heard about Jesus, heard the message, heard the good news, and walked away from him. I like what Peter said, well, Lord, to whom shall we go? You, Jesus, are the Christ and the Lord. And this Christmas season, during this time of the year, the only thing I can say to you, the only thing I can say to me, is just renew your love to him again. Just fall in love with him again. Let's stand together. As I said this morning, with every person, with every heart, with every individual that's here right now, maybe you're listening online, whatever the case may or may not be. But let this be the time of the year that you and I check our own hearts and keep our own hearts close to him. Just fall in love with him again. So, Father, I thank you, God, even now, for your word. Your word is truth. And I thank you for the word of eternal life, that Jesus came to save this old wretched world, to redeem humanity, to give us a hope and a future. And, Lord, I pray that every person that's listened online this evening, that, God, that each and every person has put their confidence and their trust in you. Lord, let us not put trust in this flesh. Let us, oh God, not put trust in those things that will not last throughout eternity. It's only you, Lord. that'll do that. And Father, you told Nicodemus in the Word that he had to be born again, that there's no way to even have eternal life without Jesus. It starts with Jesus. It ends with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Because we see in the Word where Jesus said in John, again, in the Word of God, John 14:6, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Aren't you glad that you have put your trust in Christ? At some point in your life, and I know for myself where it took place, somebody said one time, well, I know I'm saved, I just don't know when it happened. I know where I got saved and I know when it happened. And you know what? It's worked for a long time, and I'm just thanking God that it's going to keep on keeping on. God bless you. We'll see part of you tomorrow night, some on Tuesday with the ladies, and Wednesday night we got a busy week.